our best days are ahead of us. They're not behind us. Amen. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what setbacks, no matter what delays had seemed to take place, it will not stop the kingdom of God, the power of God, the glory of God, and His promise from coming to pass in our life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name today, we receive the fresh outpouring that You spoke not only to my heart, but many other people as well, Father. We jump into the river. And we jump into that place. And we receive today, Father. Open our hearts. Open our minds. We bind every and any distraction right now, Father, that would hinder us from receiving from You. And we thank You for revelation from heaven on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Did you come ready to receive today? Amen. I really want to encourage you to take notes. Back of your bulletin, you can write on there. We're starting a new series today, as you can see up here on the screen here, called Filled. Everybody say filled. You know, God wants you to be filled with Him. Amen. I was thinking about this as an introduction today. About 15 years ago or so, I was getting ready to go to a prayer meeting. This was our first church that we had over in the South Hills. And it was a Friday night, I remember vividly. And my wife, I told her, I said, you know what, before we get our prayer, I just realized I'm on empty on our car. I better go get some gas, okay? So I headed out. Now, this particular vehicle that I had back then was a Ford Explorer, and it had a monitor, like a lot of the cars do today, that will tell you how many miles you have left before you run out of gas, okay? Well, I got in the car, and it said something like 9 or 10 miles left. I thought, there's a gas station right down the road. No big deal, you know? Well, I don't know what happened, but I got in the car, fired that thing up, you know? And as soon as I pulled out of my driveway, you know, it went from like 9 miles left until empty to 0 miles. I thought, was I just translated or what? What happened here, you know? And I'm thinking, I'm really pressed for time because we're having a prayer meeting. Everybody's showing up at this prayer service, you know? And I got real antsy about this because I thought, oh, God. I started praying real hard in my car. I said, God, please, I don't care if it's fumes, get me there to the gas station, you know? And, man, I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in the Spirit, you know. And I finally pulled up to the gas station. It didn't run out of gas, thank God, you know. And so I put the nozzle in. I filled that thing up, you know. Well, the Lord used that opportunity to teach me something, okay. And I heard it inside here like you hear Him too. The Lord said to me, how did that make you feel? And I knew what He was talking about, how that I was running on empty, okay. And I had a meeting to go to, and I thought, if I run out of gas, then I won't be there to even open the doors up and so forth. You know what I mean? So I was really antsy about this. I was really nervous about this, you know. I said, well, Lord, it made me feel uptight, nervous, anxious, you know. He says, well, how did you feel after you filled the tank up? I said, I had peace. So in other words, when you're running on full, you can relax and be at peace. He said, now this is exactly how I want you to operate in life spiritually. Because if you're always running on empty, then you're living on the edge. Not in a good sense. But you're always on edge. There's always about something's about to break. Something's about to cave in. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you get anxious. You get worried, you know. He says, but when you run on a full tank, you know, you don't have to be concerned about anything. One time we almost ran out of gas. We were out in West Texas. That is not a good place to run out of gas. I'd never been out there before. We were traveling from Central Texas to El Paso, Texas, to visit Lynn's brother. And from Central Texas to El Paso, it's a 12-hour drive. That's only the halfway mark. It takes 24 hours to drive across that state. It's like another country. Well, you know, we're out there in the middle of, you know, like you've seen the Western movies, tumbleweed and stuff like that. We literally saw that kind of stuff, cactus. And, I thought, oh, God, we almost ran out of gas. And I don't know if God created a gas station, but man, we made it, praise God. But my point being is this, that when you're running on empty, you get uptight. Has anybody ever done that before? Okay. That's why it's good to have a full tank. Spiritually, that's exactly the same way. When we're not filled with God, we're not filled, and that's what we're going to talk about, how to stay full of God in these last days. It's imperative. We can't run on half tank, quarter tank, so to speak. We got to stay full all the time because there's a lot of drains out there trying to drain us of our energy. How many of you know that? There's enough things out there that will make you leak. And there's enough things out there, challenges out there in life that will take the spiritual energy out of you. But if you're running on full, like David said, my cup runneth over. That's a good thing, isn't it? Now, I'm going to use this as an illustration here. I have this phone here called an iPhone. Anybody have an iPhone in here? Okay, you know what an iPhone is. Now, back in the day, when I first got a phone, it was just a little flip phone. In fact, I remember the first cell phone I had was an analog phone. You know, it was a big old thing, big antenna and everything, you know. You know what I mean? It wasn't even digital. But I thought, wow, we've come to the place we actually have a cell phone now. Everybody has a cell phone, you know. And then these iPhones came out, you know. Now this thing is, I was used to just a flip phone. All it did was make phone calls. That was it, okay. A lot of people still live in the dark ages and they have those kind of phones. You know, I'm just kidding. Just kidding here. I got one. Everybody hold them up right here. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm in the dark. I got to thinking about this. This thing is way more than a phone. Okay? And I appreciate the technology. I mean, on my phone right now, I can get on the internet, I can do email, I can text, I can look at a calendar, I can do iTunes music, we'll put all my music on here. There's a GPS on here, it can get you from one place to another on this phone. There's an app on here that will tell you how to find the restaurants or gas station, wherever you're at. It'll say, what's the closest gas station? It'll tell you right there, you just speak into it, okay? And I have a Bible app on here, the entire Bible, the Strong's Concordance is on this little tiny phone right here. I have an app that has my airlines. If I'm taking a flight out somewhere, it'll tell me everything. I can check in with this phone right here. That's just a few of the things that are actually on there. And I checked just the other day, and we call those apps, okay? Most people understand that. And did you know, originally, there was like 250,000 apps, but do you know, as of today, there are 1.2 million apps available for this phone. 1.2 million apps. So you think about, I was thinking about the possibilities that this phone, this little phone has. You say, brother, why are you talking about a phone? I'll stay with me here, all right? This phone, with 1.2 million possibilities and all the things that it does, will not do any good if the battery runs out. They call it dead. Now, it doesn't mean dead like you have a funeral for it. You understand what I mean? But when your battery is down, that means you have 1.2 million possibilities that will never come to fruition. You understand what I'm saying? And so even at airports nowadays, they got stations. If you've been to the airport, they have plug-in stations. Everybody's looking for a place to plug in, right? Because what? They want to charge their phones up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They got whole lines of people just waiting, watching for someone to get out, and then they can plug in and charge up. Okay? Now, all these amazing possibilities that are on this little tiny phone, modern technology, will not work if the battery runs out. Just the battery runs out. Now, think about the potential that you have as a born-again Christian that hath God Himself living on the inside of you, the power of God, the Word of God, all those things that He has deposited on the inside of you that will never come to fruition if your spiritual battery runs dead. Wow. Amen? Now, there's a little indicator on here that says, okay, I've got 84% left on my battery, okay? And you know, if you stay on this phone, if you keep, especially the internet, it'll wear that battery down. Before you know it, you get down in 10%, 12%, 3%. If you're talking on the phone, you make it real fast. You say, hey, I might get cut off. I'm going to talk real fast right here. Okay? But when you have a full charge, you relax. Right? Does anybody understand that? Okay? And I thought about this. You know, I heard one guy said like this, you know, we ought to have monitors on everybody's head when they walk into church and see where they're at spiritually. Can you imagine that? They walk in, 5%, 2%, running on empty. Amen? 100%. And so I think it's important that we understand that as a believer, why is it important that we be full? Number one is because we leak. Okay? This phone, as good as it is, it needs charged every night. You got to stick that plug in there and you got to charge that thing. Okay? And the Bible talks about the word to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. There's some things we're going to talk about there. We've got to stay charged. We've got to stay full. What are some indications of someone, a Christian, that's low spiritually? Okay? How do you know if you have a low battery spiritually? Number one, irritability. Okay? Everybody listen to me. Everybody say irritability.
Irritability.
That means you get irritated real easy at people. It just takes one little thing to push you over the edge and you're snapping at somebody. You're down their throat. What's wrong with you? That's an indicator that you have a very low battery. I don't know about you, but I've been there a few times. It's not good. Because when you're full of the Holy Ghost, even the dog likes it. When you're filled with God, everybody around you, you're just a better person to be around. Amen? When you're filled with God, you're filled with Him. And, you know, we have to stay. We're going to read a scripture here in a minute. We have to stay constantly filled with the Spirit. You know, when I initially got my vehicle that I have now, it came with a full gas tank. That was nice of them. But you know what? I found out a week later, I had to fill it up again. The next week, depending on how many miles I drove, I had to fill it up again. Now, how many of you know that there's one initial filling, but there's many refillings? Okay? And we have never, ever been in a society like it is now where there are so many drains and so many things pulling at us to try to drain the power from us.
Yeah.
The cares of this life, worries, concerns, and all these different areas that are meant to drain us. So it's all that more important to stay full. Let's go over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. So some indicators that you're low spiritually is that you get upset at people just like that. People walking in unforgiveness. Look at what they did, those jerks. First of all, we ought not call somebody a jerk. Are we hitting home this morning? Think about God. He puts up with everybody at one time. And He doesn't lose it. Now stop and think about it. Now let me, before we read this scripture, I want to say this. God is the only self-energizing force that there is. He doesn't need to be plugged in. Everything else needs energy from something else. That phone needs energy from you plug it into the wall to get plugged in. Can you imagine if you made a self-energizing battery, how rich you would be? Okay? Never needed charged. All right? God is the only one that doesn't need energized and charged. But you and I do. Okay? Because we deplete ourselves. Now listen, even when I'm preaching up here and I'm putting my heart out to minister to you and then talk to people afterwards or whatever the case may be, you know, I'm actually depleting myself. But that's okay. That's what I'm supposed to do. We're all supposed to do that. Give out of ourselves to other people. And so sometimes my tiredest times are sometimes after Sunday morning. I'll go home and I'm more tired that day than any other day when I go home. Why? And I used to think, why is that always the case? Because I'm just staying up here preaching and ministering. But the Lord showed me, He says, you're depleting yourself. You're giving out of yourself. That's energy. All right? So when you give out of yourself, you have to replenish yourself. You have to renew yourself. All right? If you keep running on empty in your car, eventually you run out of gas. And you're on the side of the road. And you put a t-shirt around your mirror to let people know, the officers know, that you broke down. Okay? Nothing wrong with the car, just ran out of gas. Okay? This is all good news this morning. How many of you know that? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Now, this is out of the New Living Translation, the NLT, which I like this translation here. Notice this. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those that are, who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Verse 17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Do not be drunk with wine." Notice that. Do not be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. It will ruin your life. Praise God. Need I say more? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making melody or music to the Lord in your hearts. Praise God. Even if you have to whistle. It's a happy whistle, at least. Hey, when I hear birds singing, they're happy. I go out there in the backyard, go out there in the woods, you know, take the dog out there, hear some birds singing. He's not out there fretting. He's happy. And so he says that we're not to be drunk with wine or anything for that matter, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. You know what the actual Greek says here? It says, don't get drunk on natural wine, but get drunk on the Spirit. See, God's not opposed to you getting drunk. It's just, what means are you going about to get drunk? Okay? On the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk. And Peter stood up and said, no, we're not drunk as you suppose. He says, but this is that. Joel said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit. Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues in Acts chapter 2. Amen? And I guess they acted in such a way, they thought they were drunk. They got happy. They got beside themselves. Now, on the natural, the reason some people drink is because they become less self-conscious. Okay? They can talk to people when they couldn't talk to people before. Maybe they're trying to drown their problems. Well, listen, the natural stuff is not going to take away that, but when you get drunk on the Spirit, that doesn't mean you lose control and you get weirded out. Okay? But you get drunk on the Spirit, you cast all your cares on Him. I'm telling you what, He will take care of you and you won't have a hangover in the process. Are you with me now? But He says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Holy Spirit touch affects different areas of your life. But let me submit this to you. The very first and foremost thing, the area that the Holy Spirit will affect, is your mouth. And we'll see this in the next couple of weeks. The very first area that the Holy Spirit will affect when you're filled with Him is He affects your mouth. And I'll just refer to this because of time, but in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak with other tongues. Amen? And it says right here in Ephesians, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Doing what? Speaking. Speaking. Hallelujah. How many of you know that when you're filled with God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll know how to respond in every situation? I don't know about you, but I've been in situations before where I didn't know how to answer someone. Something happened, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what was that? You don't know how to deal with it or respond to it. But you know, the Holy Spirit's never caught off guard. He's never, ever caught off guard. And when you obey Him and you're filled with Him, He will always give you, now it may keep you on the edge for a while there, but you'll never be without words. The Holy Spirit will affect your mouth before anything else. It says in Acts 2:4 that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke with what? Other tongues. So the Holy Spirit affected their mouth. Now, it doesn't say that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they had, great elbows. And then say they were filled with the Holy Ghost and their legs felt better. I'm making a point here. It didn't say they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they had a better hair day. No, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke. So the very first place that the Holy Spirit will affect you when you're full is your mouth. Okay? Now look at verse 18 again. That's Ephesians 5:18 in that New Living. It says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. How many of you know some lives have been ruined by alcohol? Oh, God. I can tell you, I can show you some people, I won't do that today, that are not even in this earth today because of this. They should be here, and they're not here anymore. Okay? Don't buy the lie. Amen? I've said this before, and the devil tries to glorify and to amplify and to make these things so, you know, especially for guys. Like, you're not really a guy if you don't drink. You know what I'm saying? And I was watching a commercial many, many years ago, and I said this, that it was a beer commercial. And it showed a guy up in a helicopter. He had a pair of skis on. And it was a real action-filled commercial. You know, he was up in this helicopter. He had skis on, so they dropped him out of this helicopter and a parachute opened up, you know. And as soon as he hit the slope on top of this big mountain, now these are the kind of mountains that you don't even have chairlifts because it's so high. He drops out of a helicopter. And as soon as his feet touch ground on that mountain, he pops the chute and the chute lets go. And he skis down the mountain. It takes him a little while. He gets down there and he gets down to the bottom of the mountain and there's a hot tub full of women. And he skis down and jumps into the hot tub with all these women. And then someone gives him a Budweiser. And it says, you ought to be a Bud man. Okay? And so the average guy's looking at that and say, I want to be one of those. But the thing is, here's the thing. They don't show the guy that just wrapped his car around a telephone pole and killed some innocent people in the process. They don't show that because the devil doesn't want people to see that. Doesn't want people to see that. Okay? And I got to say that boldly sometimes because, you know, that's a counterfeit. This is Satan's counterfeit. Go get drunk. There's a bumper sticker I saw one time. Get drunk and be someone. Well, you know what? That's true. Get drunk on God and you'll be something. You become less self-conscious. See, you're looking at someone that used to be exceedingly bashful and shy and timid. Okay? I was the worst at it. Okay? And I can tell you from personal experience that when I got filled with God and filled with the Holy Spirit, He enabled me to do things that I never dreamed possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And still to this day, I leaned on Him years ago with fear and trembling. But even to this day, I still lean heavily upon Him because I know apart from Him, I can do nothing. I can do nothing apart from Him. But thank God we're not apart from Him. He's on the inside of us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That's what the Bible says. We're not just chugging along in our own strength trying to do it. Just trying to make it through life. You're not doing this by yourself. You've got God Almighty living on the inside of you. Spirit of truth abides in you, teaching you all things. If we become more God conscious, it will take the struggle out of life's challenges. When do things become a problem? When do things become a struggle in your life? When you're not conscious of God's presence. Is that important or not? Hallelujah. To be God conscious is to become less self-conscious. Like I heard a fellow say one time, there's some people that are just self-conscious. Some people are God-conscious. And other people are just flat unconscious. We want to be God-conscious. God inside-minded. That's the best terminology, I think, in that area. So notice it says in Ephesians here, it says, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, singing. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Notice this, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Now, does that mean, you know, you pull out a hymnal and say, how great thou art? Is that what that's talking about? No. He's talking about a song at the spur of the moment where God gives you a couple of phrases or words and you just sing it up. Oh, thank you, Lord, the greater one is in me. Hallelujah, I can surely see. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Now, that's not a song that I got from some book somewhere, but as at the Spirit of God will inspire you to sing words and say things. You know, and that doesn't mean you have to go and do it in front of people. Do it yourself. No, I did it for you. I did it in front of you to show you how to do that. Okay? Thank you, Lord, the greater one is in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I'm telling you, do that for a few minutes, 10 minutes or whatever, and all of a sudden you got to go into a meeting somewhere with somebody and you know there's already tension going to be there. You've already primed the pump, baby. You've already gotten the Spirit of God working on the inside of you and you're ready for anything. And the greater one starts working for you. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's no man or no woman ever that will fulfill you. Do you know that? The only person that can fulfill you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, I just want to get married to find my be completed. No, you get you're complete in Christ. Okay? In fact, you get complete in Christ first, Amen. Then you're ready for a mate. Amen. Okay? If you're out there looking for that man or that woman, I'm just looking to find, I feel half a person. I feel I need to be complete. No, you're already a mess going somewhere to happen. Are you with me now? I just need me a woman to complete me. No, you don't. No, you don't. I need me a man. I'm not saying that, but you know. You understand what I'm saying. In other words, get happy with who you are. Celebrate who Jesus is on the inside of you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I remember back in the day, you know, and it wasn't that too terribly long ago where, you know, I was 19, 20 years old and I desired with all of my heart, I wanted to get married, okay, to a godly woman. That was a big desire on the inside of my heart. Now, I tried in the natural to make that come to pass. And it led to utter frustration. Okay? And some of you have heard this before, you know, and some of you haven't. But I tried to make things work in the natural, you know, and went out with a few Christian girls and everything, and it just became really frustrating. It just wasn't the right thing. I'm not saying I made a disaster of things. It just wasn't the right fit. You understand what I mean? Long story short, I got real just frustrated with the whole process. And during this time, I was about 19 years old, 20 years old, right around there. The Lord spoke to me in my heart, right in my spirit. He says, now, Keith, he goes, why don't you put all that energy that you're putting, you're trying to find the right woman. He goes, I know that, you know, that's your desire. I put that desire inside your heart. He says, but instead of seeking the woman first, okay? Now, I'm telling you right now, I was not a womanizer. I wasn't anything like that. I was walking with God, okay? But I had this desire, but I was trying to make things work in the natural. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost needs help sometimes, right? You think He does. Well, the Lord dealt with my heart about it, you know, and I'm just, and you know, I was 19, 20 years old. I was just a youngster. And the Lord said, Keith, He goes, put your energy and your desire into me. In other words, He was saying, date me. That's what God was saying. Spend time with me, the lover of your soul. Okay? And I was just dumb enough to believe what He said. I said, okay, Lord, then show me how to do that. He said, well, just start delighting yourself in me. Quit looking and let me bring it to pass. Okay? For a solid year, for a solid year, I just decided, I said, you know what, I'm just going to seek God first. I'm telling you what, I didn't miss a church meeting. Every time the door was open, I was there. I don't care if they had the cleaning pew day, I was there. Okay? I showed up at home at night. I'd be get home from work, physically exhausted, tired. But at night, I would spend time with God. Even if it was for half an hour, I would spend time with the Lord, reading His Word, praying, seeking God. And it got to the point where I just completely forgot about it. I just said, praise, I'm just enjoying myself. In other words, God was showing me how to be complete with just Him and me. How to be satisfied. Then when I was by myself, I didn't think, oh God, I'm just alone. Right? No, I'm not alone. I'm never alone. I'm with Jesus. He's with me. We're never separated. Okay? Maybe this will help some people. And so... this went on for about a year. Long story short, God brought this woman across my path, and it was supernatural how it all happened. It was I'm not going to go into details, but it was absolutely, I actually tried to run from it when it came, okay? Because I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to do the same thing, have the same mindset that I had before. But God supernaturally brought this to pass. And I believe this year is going to be 33 years. You're 33 or 34, I don't know. I can't remember now. It's probably not a good sign either. 1982, so do the math. Okay. Now I was not even planning on sharing that today, but a lot of believers are trying to do an Ishmael when they should be doing an Isaac. That's right. God has an Isaac. That's the promised child to Abraham. He says, not Ishmael. And that's why to this day we have all the problems with the Arab nations and things like that because of Ishmael. Okay, all that stuff that's going on over there in the Middle East, right? That's because of an Ishmael. What's an Ishmael? That means Abraham tried to do it in his own strength. He took Hagar, his maiden servant, had a relation with her, and had a son. Okay? And a rebellious nation came from that. That was not God's plan. That was not God's will. But then there's an Isaac, the promised child. The only reason sometimes that we're not experiencing an Isaac in our life is because we're not patient enough to wait for God's best. Now that doesn't mean that you don't work on things, personal skills and things. It's good to do that. Okay? Work on things in your life. I mean, wear deodorant, that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. The greatest helper in the world is the Holy Spirit. I mean, He is the greatest helper that there is. He will help you in ways you never dreamed possible if you lean on Him. I feel sorry for believers that haven't learned how to lean on God. Because here's this massive, mighty helper at their disposal. He's right there. And people act as if his hands are tied up and his mouth is gagged and he's in a basement down there somewhere. The Holy Spirit I'm talking about. And every once in a while, the people let the Holy Spirit control them. You know what I mean? But for the most part, a lot of believers, he's tied and gagged in a basement down inside them. And the Holy Spirit's down there, oh, allow me to work in your life. Well, the last time you had me doing that, I looked like a fool at church. No, listen, when you allow the Holy Spirit to govern your life and to rule your life, there's more joy and there's more freedom and you become less, you know, I'm sure today, even in this sermon, I've made plenty of mistakes already, okay? It's not technically perfect. You know what I'm trying to say in that sense? But you know what? I don't care. Because I'm free of myself. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you with me now? Last week I was up here preaching. I realized, my zipper's down. And I'm up here preaching. And I'm thinking, well, what do? You take care of it. Are you with me now? I saw Brother Hagin, the same thing happened to him. He's up in front of thousands of people. But see, here's the thing, is we're not, when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not as self-conscious. Are you with me now? Praise the Lord. Didn't plan on saying that for sure, but... Can we have fun in church? You better believe it. See, when I went to church growing up, my Methodist church, dead Methodist church, if someone smiled, you thought something's wrong here. And I remember one time, my mother actually, she got saved, you know, but she was still in the Methodist church making that transition to come out of the Methodist into a full gospel church, you know. And she lifted her hand and she was ostracized for that. And she was just like, thank you, Jesus, you know. And people looked down their nose at her. Okay? Well, a church like that, they don't have the move of God. They wouldn't know what the Holy Ghost was if he came riding in on a big horse with a red hat that said, Holy Ghost. They wouldn't know it. They wouldn't know it. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is not what we eat or what we drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. Joy. Amen. Our kids are learning about the fruit of the Spirit over there this morning. Amen. And I thought about that because the kingdom of God is not... Another translation says, the Cotton Patch translation is a southern paraphrase of the New Testament. He said it like this. This is Clarence Thomas. No, not Clarence Thomas. That's the Supreme Court guy. Clarence... I forget his last name, but he wrote that version. He said, the kingdom of God is not coffee and donuts, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm telling you, when you get filled with God, you get filled with joy, you'll become a better husband, you'll become a better father, you'll become a better mother, a better wife, a better employer. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to be around grumpy. Okay? Grumpy died when you got born again. He died. He's 6 foot under. So you got to remind him, hey, Grumpy, you're underground. You're 6 foot under. Buried. Tombstone, the whole thing. All right? But when you get filled with God, you don't really care what people think. I don't mean that in an ignorant sense to offend people. But you're so free of who you are that you don't really, you know, if a hair's out of place, so what? Okay? Brother Copeland, I love this one time. He was up there ministering, you know. He's got the beautiful three-piece suit on, perfect hair, the whole nine yards, you know. And he's up there preaching on television, okay, in front of millions of people. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you know how God has made me so free, I don't care what I look like. He got up there and he just messed his hair up right in front of the camera, hair sticking out everywhere. Everybody started laughing and everything. He said, that's awesome because we're so free that if something's out of place, something doesn't look right, your hair doesn't look right, your clothes don't look right, so what? So what? Amen? That's being too self-conscious. When we become less self-conscious, then we become more God-conscious, which makes us more people-conscious. You see, this whole thing that we're involved with called church and the kingdom of God that we're in right now, it's all about manifesting his kingdom to other people around us. Amen? Amen. How many of you know that there's a lot of people out there that need the God that we serve? Amen. And they're lost. They don't know it. They just don't know it. Their eyes are blinded. We can do something about that. We should and we could and we will. Amen. By manifesting the love of God to those people. Amen. Man, stop and think about that. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, if you would. So we know we're supposed to be full of God. Okay? Let's talk about how to do that in the time left that we have. Just got a few minutes left here. Literally. Let's talk about how do we stay full of God. Verse 1, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 says this, "And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason or right that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." He says, "Wherefore," this is the disciples here, they said, "Wherefore, look out among you of 7 men of honest report." In other words, they have a good reputation. Notice this, full of the Holy Ghost. You see that? Say that with me. Full of the Holy Ghost. "Whom we may appoint over this business." That's in other words, taking care of the widows back in this day, okay? Which is a legit ministry, okay? Now, verse 5, we see the greatest miracle perhaps in the Bible, more than the splitting of the Red Sea. And it says, "And this saying pleased the whole multitude." You mean the preacher said something that everybody agreed on? They didn't have to vote for this? Amen? It says it pleased the whole multitude. "And they chose Stephen," a man, notice this, "full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Well, how do you become full of faith? You're full of the what? The Word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This man was full of the Word and he was full of the Spirit. Stephen, just a lay person. "And the Philip," they chose Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch in verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles. When they prayed for them, they laid," notice this, "they laid their hands on them." There was an impartation that took place. "And notice the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Well, it must have worked then, huh? Now, here's what I want to show you. Look at verse 4. That's Acts 6, and verse 4. It says, "But that we will give ourselves," this is the disciples saying, "that we give ourselves continually to," notice this, "prayer." Say prayer.
Prayer.
"And to the ministry of the word." So there's two phrases I want you to underline here in this verse. And that first one is prayer, in verse, that's chapter 6, verse 4. Prayer and then the word. Now these are the two, this is what we're going to get into here in the weeks to come here. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, we saw, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, I'll say that, Lord. If you try to fix something when you're not filled with the Spirit, it's not going to work. Okay? When you try to fix a person or you try to fix something, when you're not filled with the Spirit, it will only lead to frustration in your life. But when you operate, it's kind of like this phone right here. If I'm trying to do too much and the phone's on 5% and then 3%, and I'm trying to get on the internet and look at stuff, guess what? It's going to run out. The whole thing shuts down. If we're trying to do things with not being plugged in and filled with God enough, our battery runs short just like that. Okay? And then that's when frustration comes in. Here's a good indicator. Frustration is nothing more than an indicator to us, to you and to me, that we're trying to do something in our own strength. Anybody ever been there before? Frustration is a telltale sign that we're trying to do something in our own strength. Oh, God, I just want Uncle so-and-so to be saved, or Aunt so-and-so. I just want them to be saved, you know. Well, listen, you're not the Savior. First of all, Jesus is the Savior. There's no use you getting under the care of that thing and trying to get them to serve God or, you know, come to Christ or walk with Christ. It's not your job to do that. Your job is to give that care to the Lord and then you pray for them. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do you know what it's like sometimes to have, from my position as a pastor in this church, that There are occasions that I'll get all kinds of stuff coming in, needs and requests. And I realize I'm only one person. Lynn's only one person. And sometimes it can get overwhelming. Sure. Because you care for people. Now, if you don't care for people, it doesn't matter. All right? But, you know, listen, we're family. We're family. And when you hurt, we feel it. You know what I'm saying? When you're struggling, we feel that. But it's really important that I had to learn this as a pastor. Like Paul said, you know, there's all those out things, there's outward things you do deal with. And he said, then there's the daily care of the churches that tried to come on him. We know it's the cares of this life that choke the word of God. Now, it's not my job to worry for you. It's not my job to worry for you. And sometimes I've had this come and this come and this come and okay. And I'm like, and the Lord says, whoa, Keith, back up, back up. He goes, you're not the Savior. You're not their deliverer. Your job is to stand in faith and you pray for the people. Amen. Hallelujah. And I always have to remind myself of that. I thought I'd just kind of get you in on that so you understand sometimes where we're coming from. Because sometimes there's a barrage of things that come that people are dealing with, okay? And that's okay. We're here to pray. Amen? But I realize I can't take the care of that thing on me. If someone's backslidden from the church, you know, that's not my care. Do you understand that? It's not my job to get them in these seats. That's awesome, isn't it? It's not my job to bring people into this church. My job is to stay full of God, stay plugged into Him, and minister out of my heart when I come here to you, and the God will do the rest. Glory to God. So my success is not based on how many people are in these chairs. There's no question God wants every one of these chairs to be filled in this place. Every one of these chairs. It's His will. But it's not my job to get them in there. And when I realized that, it set me free. Amen? Are you with me now? Be filled with the Spirit. And he says that, verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So these two elements, the prayer and the Word. Okay? These are the two main things to stay filled with the Spirit. Say, Pastor, you know, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to stand up and behind a pulpit and minister. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about as a wife, as a mother, as a husband, as a dad, as a grandfather, there is an anointing for you to flow and to function in. And those people that are around you, they need you to be anointed. Okay? They need you to be anointed. So how do we do that? By prayer and by the Word of God. One last scripture, Colossians, the 3rd chapter, if you would go over there. You know, it's so important that we don't let people become our care. Someone's not acting right in your family. It's so easy to take that care upon you and worry about them, fret about them, get anxious about them. But that's like pulling the plug on the tub, because what it'll do, it'll drain all the energy out of you and you're just running on empty. And you can't do that. But what you can do is you stay full of God and stay prepared. Things will work out a lot better and a lot differently than you thought, dreamed or imagined. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you poorly. That's Satan's translation, literally. But it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell. In other words, we'd say the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you what? Richly. Richly. Can I say something? That if you just take one scripture even, and you take that scripture and you speak it out loud, It gets down inside you. That's how you eat the Word of God. You say it. We know how to eat physical food. You know, you stick it in your mouth, chew on it, and down it goes. Okay? It brings nourishment to you. Well, Jeremiah says it like this. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." How do you eat the Word of God? You take that Bible and just chew on the pages? No. You take a scripture and you speak it out loud. You know, you say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," Philippians 4:13, or Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory." Amen. You take one of those scriptures, I'm just using hypothetical, you take that scripture, you speak it out loud, it drops down inside your spirit, it becomes a part of you. Okay? How many of you here ate yesterday? How many of you ate last week? Okay? Can you go back and find that now? So I ate a hamburger a week ago. Can you retrace it and find it now? No. Why? Because you digested it. It became a part of you. In some sense, that's not real good. It depends on what you ate. Right? But if you ate something healthy, praise the Lord, you can't go back upstream and say, "Okay, where is it now? Where'd it go?" Well, what happened was your digestive system broke it down, that food, and then it took the nutrients out of whatever that thing was, distributed it. That's God. Think about that. Throughout your blood and throughout your body, every cell in your body is now receiving nourishment because of what you ate. Think about that. Now, your job is not to cause the nourishment to happen. Your job is just to eat the food. Everything that God's created needs nourishment. Your body needs nourishment. Your soul needs nourishment. Your spirit definitely needs nourishment. God has provided the food that we can nourish ourselves with. But here's the thing, and I'll close with this. He cannot and will not make us eat. You know, you've heard the saying, you can take a horse to a watering trough, and you can't make him drink. It's sad, but some people could die of starvation in the middle of a grocery store. Doesn't have to. Food all around them. Okay? So, I want to leave you with this today, because let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Praise God. This is what church really is all about. Not just about entertainment. It's not about preacher jumping through the hoop. It's about the Word of God. And that Word of God, that's what's going to sustain us. When your back's up against the wall and you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to do, and you're frustrated with life, what do you lean on? You have to learn how to lean on the Word of God. Lean on God. Let Him become your source and your sustenance for every area. You know, when you make God your source, it liberates you so much. It really does. When God becomes your source for everything in life, you're not looking to your job. That doesn't mean you go quit your job. That's not what I'm saying. But you realize, you know, there's many channels, but there's only one source. There's, in this room, we see there's several outlets here, okay? There's several ways you can plug in, and we do it with our sound system, all right? But there's only one source that electric's coming from, and that electric's coming to supply electricity for this entire complex, this hotel, all the rooms, hundreds of rooms that are here. There's many channels, but there's only one source. God is our source. He can use any channel that He wants. But let's remember who our source is. God is our source, not your job. God is your source. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear these words in my spirit. I've become increasingly disheartened. I've become increasingly frustrated. That's what someone has said in this room here right now. Someone has said, I'm just frustrated with life. I'm frustrated with this. This message today was completely, every head bowed, every eye closed. This message was tailor-made for you this morning. I don't even know who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter. It's none of my business. But if you'll stop looking to men, you'll stop looking at man as your source and your joy and your happiness. You look to God. You look to Him. He will satisfy, the Bible says He satisfies the longing soul. And all it is just a choice. It's just a decision. It's not a feeling, but it's just a choice to say, you know, Lord, I've tried this in my own strength. It hasn't worked. Now, Lord, I look to You. So say this out loud. Say this, everybody together. Say, Lord, I give every care.
I give every care.
Every worry.
Every concern
over to You.
I give it to You.
I let go of the care. And I'm going to let You take that care and work it out. Hallelujah. 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 Now there's coming a strength from heaven. A power and a strength for you. Burdens being lifted. Yokes being destroyed. Burdens being removed. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. So receive your freedom right now in Jesus' name. Everybody in this room right now, you receive it. Liberty and freedom. Joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. No more burdens, no more cares. You give those to God. Give them to God. Don't let anybody in this room, do not leave this room this morning without giving every one of those cares to God right now. Those things that are concerning you right now. The Lord wants to work those things out for you. He doesn't want you fretting over it, worrying about it. Glory be to God. Now, Father God, as we march out of here, Father God, we thank You for new joy, peace this week, Father. We receive Your abundant peace and Your abundant provision, Lord, for all that are here, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.